From the land of Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market reported as the fourth day of June 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll hear from the state statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. Those are the five top corn-producing states in the nation, in order. And as we close out our program, Don Day will be here as well. He'll take a look at the growing conditions across those states and other places around the planet as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is, of course, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. We come to you from the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
We're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's check on what the outside markets look like at this hour. Actually, the nearby contracts for the CME Group and the soft red winter wheat, $7.09 a settlement price there. Up a quarter in the September, 7.17 and three quarters, down three quarters. Hard red in Kansas City at $7.50 and three quarters for the wheat, down three quarters of a cent as well. And now the July corn futures back in Chicago, nearby contracts, 6.60 and a half, up four and three quarters. September at 5.83 and three quarters, down five. And December corn, $5.53, 7 cents lower. The March at 5.63 and a half, down six and three quarters. In May, 5.70 and three quarters, down six and a quarter for the day. July soybeans at 15.28 and three quarters, down three and three quarters. August at 14.52, down six and a quarter. September soybeans 13.60 and a quarter, down six and three quarters. And November beans, the harvest month, 9.5 cents lower at $13.16 for the afternoon. January futures 13.20 and three quarters, down a dime, and the March at 13.19 and a quarter, down 10 and a quarter. Bean meal futures at 452.50 finished $1.90 lower. Bean oil at 48.59, 7 cents lower. Live cattle futures finished the August contract at $120.12.5. That's up 65 cents. October at 123.45 for the live cattle, up 72.5. August feeders at 145.57 and a half, $1.15 higher, and the September's at 147.55, up $1.05, and the nearby July lean hogs at $94.75, up $1.20. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, July contract, $93.37 a barrel, down 8 cents. RBOB gasoline at 281 and 9 tenths, that's 3 and 3 tenths of a cent higher. Ethanol at 269 and 3 tenths is a penny and 7 tenths lower on the day. Natural gas trading 399 and 8 tenths, just about 7 tenths of a cent higher. And the gold futures on the afternoon are trading at $1,397.10, down $14.70 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies and a high of 75 degrees. On a southeast wind at about 11 miles an hour, that'll gust all the way to 16 miles an hour this afternoon. And then this evening, mostly cloudy skies and a low of 59 on an east-southwest wind or southeast wind at 8 miles an hour. Tomorrow, a slight chance of showers, then a shower or thunderstorms by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, mostly cloudy. A high of 78 degrees in the area. East-southeast winds at 8 miles an hour. They'll turn to the south in the afternoon. Chance of the precipitation tomorrow afternoon set at 30%. That'll jump to 50% overnight on Wednesday. Mostly cloudy skies in 62 with a southwest wind at 6 miles an hour. That'll calm down into the evening. And then Thursday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy and a high of 74 degrees. Thursday night, cloudy and 58. Friday, sunny and 72. Friday evening, cloudy and 55. On Saturday, mostly sunny skies for the weekend, 75 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 59. And Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny and 76. Sunday evening, showers and thunderstorms continue with a low of 61. And the work week next week starts with the chance of showers and thunderstorms, otherwise partly sunny skies in the area and a high of 77. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of June. On the phone line with us, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace and what farmers are asking you at this time.
Well, you know, the farmers were out, they were able to be out spraying and stuff over here today, so we didn't talk to a lot of farmers today. But basically they're saying, do they think we can rally, do they think we're moving on, or are we going to take a break here? And I think that we saw just enough planning to sort of say it's maybe time for a little break on this upward move. It is well called for because of all the delays and all the unplanted ground, but maybe we need to see what happens the next week.
What were your perceptions when you saw the crop progress reports yesterday? Anything strike you out of the ordinary?
Not really. 91% in the corn, and we were looking for 92, 1% less there. I think what did strike us, I guess, is Minnesota, Iowa, big numbers of unplanted ground in those two states, and that is a little bit worrisome.
A little worrisome. On the flip side, though, if you listen to the state statisticians, and we'll hear them a bit later in the program, they've been wet, and that's the reason that they haven't been able to put any corn, soybeans into the ground at this time. Still, they've been alleviating drought in those western parts of the Corn Belt that hadn't quite gotten that far in the last 3 months or so.
Yeah, I think if we look at some statistics, Todd, that Iowa had the wettest spring ever recorded in 141 years, and they were in like over 60% considered drought area, and they're down to less than 5 now. In Minnesota, the third coldest spring in the same time period.
And as you look forward, what are your expectations for the next week?
I think we're going to see choppy two-sided trade here. I think that we've got up and went to some of the areas where we hit resistance. And until we sort of see what we can get planted over the next week, next 10 days, actually, because that's going to be the time period it's going to be critical. And then we'll go from there and watch the weather one more time.
Anything on the world front that we should be aware of?
Well, I think that basically a few things were made today, and some of our reports were put out that some of the feds were talking that they don't think they're going to be scaling back the buying of bonds real soon. So that's a little bit good for the stock market.
And how about for the livestock? Anything that you've been watching there?
The livestock, no, I haven't really been watching a lot. The one thing that is on the international front, though, is that Monsanto is helping pay for the testing of that GMO wheat, and they're not finding any.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He just joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. A couple of things to keep in mind as we make our way through the month of June. If you have not yet signed up for the June 24th Farm Family Legacy event that is sponsored by the Illinois Tax School, the U of I, and Farm Credit, and will be in Bloomington Normal, now would be a good time to do that. You can do it online. Just look for Illinois Tax School, and then you can sign up for that event. It's all day long there in Bloomington Normal. Good if you're a farmer, a landowner, or a small business owner, any of those three. Others that are interested want to know how to pass along the estate. That'd be a great place to do it. It's not expensive either, just $40 for the day. Thanks to Farm Credit for helping out with that part of the program. And I think it would be worth your while to go ahead and sign up for that event. Once again, it's the Farm Family Legacy event. You can search for Legacy and Illinois Tax School. I'm pretty certain that you'll find it, and it will come up fairly quickly. And that event is on the 24th of June. That's a Monday there in Bloomington Normal.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Yeah. yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the latest crop progress report. It shows as of the second day of June, 91% of the corn has been planted across the nation. That compares to 95% on the rolling five-year average. 75% of that crop has emerged compared to 82% on the rolling five-year average. And it is now in 57% good and 15% excellent condition. Fair at 23%, very poor and poor at 5% combined for the corn. For soybeans, 57% of the crop is in the ground. That compares to 74% over the five-year average. And 31% has emerged compared to 49% at this date in the past 5 years. Now, here are updates from the five top corn-producing states in the nation.
This is Greg Tayson, state statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending June 2, 2013. The wettest week since July 2010 interfered with farmers getting their crops planted. The rain resulted in record precipitation totals for both the month of May and year-to-date and caused standing water and flooding in some areas, while the runoff caused erosion, especially in fields that had been recently tilled. Rainfall totals ranged from about 1.25 inches at Maquoketa to almost 8.5 inches at Ziering in Story County. The average precipitation for the week was 3.2 inches, about triple the weekly normal, while temperatures for the week averaged near normal. For the first time since June 2011, topsoil moisture levels rated 100% adequate to surplus, and subsoil moisture levels rated at 95% adequate to surplus continued to increase. With the additional rain, most fields were too wet for machinery to enter, and farmers were only able to plant 3% of the corn crop and 4% of the soybean crop during the week. Statewide, there was an average of just 6/10 of a day suitable for field work. Given the limited progress, corn planting now stands at 88% complete, still behind the 99% normally planted by this date. Meanwhile, corn emergence advanced to 73% complete, compared with the normal pace of 91%, and the first corn condition rating for the year showed 57% of the crop rated as good or excellent. Only 44% of the soybean crop was in the ground, and 23% of the crop has emerged, progressing at the slowest pace since the mid-1990s and well behind the five-year averages of 91 and 65% respectively. The wet weather, although beneficial for pasture conditions, has made it difficult for farmers to make hay this spring, with just 3% of the first-cutting alfalfa hay harvested, 35 percentage points behind normal. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. I am reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, June 2nd. More wet weather stalled most fieldwork across Illinois last week. All districts across the state averaged more than 1 inch of rain above normal for the week. Some districts averaged more than 4 inches above normal. The excessive rains have caused flooding and ponding in low-lying areas, and some producers are worried that they will need to replant. Topsoil moisture was rated as 41% adequate and 59% surplus, while subsoil moisture was 1% short, 60% adequate, and 39% surplus. There were only 1.2 days suitable for field work last week. Corn planted inched ahead to 91% complete, compared to 100% last year and 95% for the five-year average. Corn emerged is now at 81%, just 2 points below the five-year average for the state, and the average height of corn plants across the state is 5 inches compared to 10 inches normally. Soybeans planted are now at 49% complete. That compares to 97% last year and 69% normally. The condition of the corn crop is rated as 10% in the very poor and poor categories, 31% fair, and 59% in the good and excellent categories. For the winter wheat crop, 8% of acres are in the very poor and poor categories, 26% is fair, and 66% of acres are good to excellent. Sorghum planting reached 58% complete, winter wheat headed is now at 93%, and oats planting is 97% complete. The first cutting of alfalfa hay is now 32% complete, and red clover hay is now 43% cut. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office, with the Crop Progress Report for the week ending June 2, 2013. Rain fell throughout the state, averaging 1 to 2 inches in western areas, 2 to 3 inches across the eastern third of the state, and over 5 inches were recorded in portions of the southeast. As a result, drought conditions have eased in eastern areas. However, much of the western half of the state continues in extreme drought. Less than half the week was considered suitable for field work, but corn planting activities are near completion and soybeans are over 80% planted. Pastures were beginning to respond to the spring moisture but are still short in most rangeland areas, and the first fields of alfalfa were being cut with stands short and wet conditions last week limiting progress. Wheat was headed in many southern counties, but overall still a week and a half behind average. In the west, proso millet was 8% planted and dry beans are 25% planted, both behind last year on average. This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 2, 2013. Cool and wet weather prevailed again in Minnesota for the week. Standing water and muddy fields continued to hamper field work, while earlier planted crops did emerge in better drained areas. Statewide temperatures averaged 1.1 degrees below normal, with rainfall 0.34 inches above normal. There was a statewide average of 2.2 days rated suitable for field work. Topsoil moisture supplies increased to 0% very short, 2% short, 63% adequate, and 35% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies also improved to 1% very short, 10% short, 72% adequate, and 17% surplus. Corn planting was 87% complete. That compares to 100% last year and the average of 98%. Corn emergence was 65%, and that compares to last year's 97% with an average of 86%. The first corn condition rating of the year showed the crop at 1% very poor, 4% poor, 35% fair, 51% good, and 9% excellent. Soybeans were 55% planted. That compares with 97% last year and the average of 88%. Soybeans were 18% emerged, which is 53 percentage points behind last year and 36 percentage points behind average. Spring wheat planting was 92% planted. That compares with 100% last year and the average of 97%. 75% of the spring wheat crop has emerged. That's 42 percentage points ahead of last week, which is the most notable change to any small grain. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending June 2nd. Total precipitation from Monday, May 27th through Sunday, June 2nd, ranged from 83 107 inch to 5.98 inches, with the heaviest amounts falling on some of the northern counties. Some replanting will most likely be necessary due to washouts and standing water. Before the heavy rains came, farmers were busy planting, spraying herbicides, and side dressing corn. 94% of the intended corn acreage has been planted at this time, compared with 100% last year and 88% for the 5-year average. By area, 99% of the corn acreage has been planted in the northern districts, 96% in the central region, and 81% in the south. About 77% of the corn acreage has emerged at this point. 76% of the intended soybean acreage has been planted, compared with 96% last year and 66% for the 5-year average. By area, 89% of the soybean acreage has been planted in the north, 82% in the central region, and only 40% in the south. 48% of the soybean acreage has emerged. 87% of the winter wheat acreage is headed, compared with 99% last year and 93% for the 5-year average. Some wheat acreage did suffer some wind damage from the storms that moved across the state. First cutting of alfalfa hay is only 42% complete, compared with 94% last year and 53% for the 5-year average. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our thanks go to the state statisticians. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com. Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Let's go back and pull a story from the archive. Back in January, you heard a story about Vintage Aerial. That's a company in Ohio that has gathered up all of those photos that were taken of farmsteads in the 50s and the 60s, the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and some of them even in the 2000s. About 2 years ago this month, I recorded an interview with them online because I took a tour of sorts. You'll hear more about that in just a moment because, well, there are millions of farmsteads across the United States which have been photographed from the air. And those 35mm films, well, they're still around. And it's possible to take a flight of sorts through time and your old neighborhood. Those hand-painted photos that hang on the walls of most farm homes in the United States were taken long ago. And the films, well, they still exist. Tom Wolf of Vintage Aerial is more than willing to take you on a flight through your neighborhood. Just log on from any computer.
You'll see a picture of me and my family in front of my barn, and that's how I got connected with this company. I bought some photos for them over the years, and all over the country they've taken aerial photos from a small plane, and back in the day they used to send salesmen door-to-door, and they'd show the pictures and sell enlargements, and they saved all the film over the years. And so the photos that I have for you today are from 1966.
That's right. He said 1966. And get this, there are 26 million farmstead photos in the library from 41 states. And Tom Wolf, well, he's a great guide.
What I have in front of me is the map that was actually in the plane with the pilot when he took these pictures. Now, this is the coolest part because as we scroll through here, not only are you looking for your picture, but you get to see all your neighbors' properties, and it's kind of like walking down memory lane and seeing. Did you grow up in this area, by the way?
Yeah, actually, the first place we're going to, as long as it comes up, is where I grew up.
Okay.
That's
well,
it.
Is, no kidding. You'll probably recognize all these places since you grew up there. Now, this is the next farm north.
Yeah, that's the Conradis.
Okay. Now we're moving on down the road.
That's Altman's. That nice round barn is gone, or the round top. That's the Theobald place.
Okay.
And that's Steve Walsh's. That is my brother Larry's place. And that's Larry's place from the flip side. Hold it, that one right there.
This is the one you're looking for?
The answer is yes. Mom and Dad bought this place in 77 or 78. And the home that you're looking at was built in about 1860. And the question at the time when they bought it was whether they were going to bulldoze it in or remodel it.
What'd they do?
They remodeled it.
And Tom Wolf from Vintage Aerial let me relive that memory and create one from my home that I couldn't possibly have done on my own. And he can do the very same for you right there online at VintageAerial.com. Vintage Aerial, of course, sells copies of the original photos and the online tour, the Flight of Memory. Well, that's part of the process. We'll return here on Illinois Public Media with the closing market report in just 2 minutes. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming.
It's National Chocolate Macaroon Day. Like many foods, the origins of the macaroon are murky, but some historians trace it back to an Italian monastery. The pastry became popular in France in the 18th century. It's also St. Morad's Day, patron of wine growers and winemakers. He founded the Monastery of St. Christopher and is said to have lived the whole of each Lent on a single bunch of grapes. On this day in agricultural history, in 1539, Hernando de Soto claimed Florida for Spain. He landed 9 ships, 620 men, and 220 horses at Charlotte Harbor, Florida. In 1841, Nicholas Francis Aperit died. He was inventor of the canning process, preserving food by sealing it in sterilized containers. He published the results of 14 years of research in 1810 and received a 12,000 franc award from French government officials for his efforts. And in 1844, Wilbur Atwater was born. An American scientist, Atwater developed agricultural chemistry. He received a Ph.D. from Yale in 1869 for his studies on the chemical composition of corn. And he established the first agricultural experimental station in the U.S. in 1875. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Hey, you know, there are several websites that I talk about on the radio all the time, but that I think you should have bookmarked. They're the FarmDoc website and the Bulletin website. The FarmDoc website, of course, belongs to the Ag Economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. The address that you want to put in is farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. There you'll get a running tabulation of the thoughts and processes of what's been happening in the Ag Econ department as it relates to production agriculture and policy and worldwide distribution of food, and then the Bulletin, which is operated by the Crop Sciences. It's a blog of sorts as well, and you can find it at bulletin.ipm.illinois.edu. So there's a couple places that you can go to find out all kinds of information from the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don Day from Day Weather is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Don. Tell me about the weather forecast for here in the Midwest, please.
Well, you remember old records when you would get the needle stuck and it would just play over and over again? Well, that's kind of what's coming up here over the next week to 10 days. We continue to see a fairly active pattern through the Midwest and Corn Belt with more rain chances and temperatures that are still going to be somewhat stymied. Now, heavier rains that we've experienced here over the last week or two, I don't see the amounts of rain being as heavy, but it's generally going to stay off and on wet, and temperatures are still going to be averaging below normal.
And if you get a little further out, does it dry out at all?
Well, I do see a little bit of it now, but not till the second half of the month. I think for another 10 to 14 days, the pattern is going to favor wet and cool more than anything.
That'll be good for the corn that's in the ground, the soybeans too, but not great for planting. How about China? What do they look like at this point? They should be a good way, as we are supposed to be here, into their growing season.
It looks wet, especially in the short term over all of China. Pretty stormy pattern there. So for crops looking for precipitation, they're going to get it. When it comes to precipitation and temperature together, well, with all the wetness, they're going to see temperatures averaging a little bit below normal. Certainly, there is nothing that looks real hot in the key growing areas in the Northern Hemisphere.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday edition. Remember, you can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming from the Opening Market Report to the Closing Market Report and everything in between, including our Commodity Week program. That one airs on the weekend on radio stations, but it's up on the website by about 6 o'clock Central Time USA each and every Friday evening. Commodity Week, the Closing Market Report, the Opening Market Report, and all of our ag programming at WILLAG.org. Visit our website today. And have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.